It says that hope deferred or misplaced makes the heart sick. Huh? You ever felt like you had a sick heart? Just, you know, it shows on the countenance. It's just an awful feeling. Hopelessness. Your heart is sick. Amen. Hope. What makes a sick heart? Hope in the wrong place. Right. Hope in the wrong place will make your heart sick. That's powerful. Amen. Hebrews 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, verse 12. For the word of God is quick. Amen. Quick to do what? Cut out that hopeless feeling. I mean, quick to cut hopelessness. Amen. Powerful. Where is it at? It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. Thank you, wonderful Jesus. I just want to share something with you real quick. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go back just briefly to the origin of hopelessness. There's an origin to hopelessness. There's a beginning to hopelessness. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Sabbath day, we've learned that you cease from work, but only to do a different kind of work. Amen. Huh? You cease from your own works only to enter into a different kind of work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Bible talks about faith, amen, and hope being our shield. Faith and hope will be our shield. Hopelessness is the devil's shield. Huh? He likes to shield you in with that feeling of hopelessness and despair and unbelief. Amen. That's his shield. But God wants to turn that hopelessness into hope. A shield of hope, the Bible calls it. And a shield of faith. That makes up God's shield. All right. Real quick, like, turn to Genesis. Now, we've heard this before. And we're just merely reviewing tonight. And in reviewing, hopefully, you'll get something re-quickened to you that blessed my heart here a few days ago. And I feel like it's necessary. You know, and whenever God calls you to a body and a ministry, a church, if you pull into that ministry with all your heart and soul and support it and get behind it and be in church, you will not feel a feeling of hopelessness. If you're really faithful being there, you will not feel a feeling of hopelessness. You'll have a shield of faith and you'll have a shield of hope up. Amen. But when you go off over here by yourself, you know what God promises you? Hopelessness. I'm going to show you why. Turn to Genesis 1. It's important. Now, you weren't in a church before you got saved. And you may not have been a part of a church shortly after you got saved. Who knows? I wasn't right at the beginning. But once God calls you into a body ministry and all, and then you continue to try to sever yourself off and do your own thing and not come into the headship, come to church when you want to, pay as much tithes as you want to, just kind of doing your own thing within a body, you'll find that you won't have the faith that other people have. You'll find a feeling of hopelessness gripping the heart. Isn't that right? Huh? Just kind of doing your own thing. Not under the headship of the Lord. you in church, but just in church doing your own thing. That is possible. Genesis 1, 3 and 4. Hallelujah. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Verse 4. And God saw the light that it was. Won't you underline that? That it was. You can't see it, can you? That it was good. Verse 10. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. God saw that it was good. Now this is a fantastic principle. Okay, verse 12. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Hallelujah. Verse 18. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Now these are individuals, and they're all good. Verse 21. And God created great wells, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was
good.
You're good. David's good. Jeff's good. Russell's good. I'm good. Brother Hill's good. Craig's good. Reggie's good. Leanne's good. Ruthann's good. John's good. I don't leave my house. Dee's good. My wife's good. Children are good. Glenda's good. Bobby's good. Little Reggie's good. Amen. Verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was
good.
So everything God created was good. Hallelujah. Thank you, wonderful Jesus. So what's the most outstanding thing we've seen about these individual things created by God?
Good.
That it was good. The most outstanding thing about these things that he created is that they were good. Now. Verse 31. Get Leanna woke up there. I know how to get your attention. Verse 31. And God saw everything. Oh, shka-ba-ba-ba-ba. God saw all of you. God saw a congregation.
Amen.
God saw everything. God saw. Now, here's this little Christian over here reading his Bible. That's good. Here's one over here watching religious broadcasting. That's good. Here's one over here witnessing on the street. That's good. Here's one saying his prayers before going to sleep at night. That's good. Here's one doing a rock concert for Jesus Christ. That's good. All of that is good.
Amen. Right. Good.
But, listen, take notice of verse 31, that when you come to church and all come together, all you good things. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Excellent. That word very means excellent. God saw the sum of the whole thing put together in a congregation. He saw all the good things that he had created. He brought them together. The Bible says that he looked upon, he laced with his eyes. Now we've heard this, but I think you're seeing a different way. God laced all these individual things that he had created, he laced them all together, equaling one. Huh? He looks upon us as one, and he says, very good. Excellent. Excellent. Now, when you receive the excellence from God, you know what he does? Do you know what he does? That word very also means exceeding mighty. Exceeding mighty. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, wonderful Jesus.
Praise.
They were all good individually, but not very good until they were all together. Thank you, wonderful Jesus. Thank you, wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. I like that.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. And now this is what God wants us to do, is to labor into this type of rest. The Bible says that after he had created all things, he rested and laced them all together and said, this is excellent. This is excellent.
Praise
the Lord. Now I'm going to explain it just a little bit more. Then we're going to take up the tithes and offerings. And we're going to have Brother Hill preach to us tonight. But this was burning in my heart. I've got to share it with you. Now pride will get you all by yourself and say, look at me. Look at me. Playing the independent one. That's right. And you will not receive that excellence from God unless you're all together. The Bible says he laced all the good things that he had created, he laced them together as one. And what happened when Adam, female, kind of separated herself, from that all excellent way? She fell. Amen. She fell. Now, when God laces all that together, my Bible tells me that he breathes, amen, upon you. You receive the breath of God. Hallelujah. When Rashkataya, that he, amen, sees all coming together. Amen. I love that. Look at it. Verse 3 in chapter 2. Well, let's read verse 2. And on the seventh day, God entered into his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work. Now he laced them all together, which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day, which is the Sabbath day, hallelujah, and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created. That word sanctified means to breathe upon. God breathed, amen, upon it as a whole. Thank you, Jesus. That's why you feel hopeless, because you're independent apart from the all good. Huh? The excellence. Does that make sense to y'all?
Amen.
That when we sever ourselves as an independent one, we will not receive the breath of God. He can't sanctify it. He can't sanctify that kind of work. Bible says, forsaking not the assembling. Now, why did Paul say that? There had to be a principle behind that. And that's because of this excellence. This all good, very good principle, amen, that when you come together and you strive to come together, that's laboring into rest. Because when you labor to come together, amen, and let God lace us all together as one, you'll find a rest that you can't get staying at home.
Wow.
Huh? You'll find a rest you can't get being somewhere severed from the body. Is that powerful, Brother Hill? Isn't that powerful? You cannot find. He says, labor. Labor to do what? Labor for the unity. Labor to enter into this seventh day rest. Labor, amen, to get to church. Labor to be together as Christians worshiping God. And you shall be sanctified. God shall breathe upon you. That word sanctified means set apart, made holy. The word sanctified also means to offer as a sacrifice. We can truly give God a living sacrifice when we all come together striving for the unity, striving to put down our wrath, striving to put down our strife and contention, striving for the unity so that God can look down and lace all these good individuals, good Christians, lace them together as one and say, it is very good. Huh? It is very good. I like that. Now you wonder, where is the origin of hopelessness now? What is the origin of hopelessness? Independence. Independence is going away from God, doing your own thing, and then I receive a report, Brother Jordan, I don't know what's happening. I just feel like the world's just caving in on me. Nothing's working out. Were you in church last Sunday morning? No. Why? Well, I had this pimple over here in the northwest corner of my cheek, and I squeezed it and it hurt, and I had to stay home, put a band-aid on and hold it. That's about right. Huh? That's about the extent of the ridiculousness of excuses why people stay home. And you know what? They're the ones that are missing the blessing. They can't get the very good, and they can't get sanctified, and they wonder why they have trouble in the flesh. Brother Chris, how much trouble? You've had more trouble in the flesh since you kind of missed church a little bit more than any other time in your life, right? I think that's most of y'all's testimony. Huh? That when you start getting over here, taking your own independent way, you will not find the sanctifying breath of God. Huh? You'll start having troubles that you've never had before. Amen. Because you're not being sanctified. You can't be set apart and made holy and to offer as a sacrifice. I just thought I'd share that with you. That just blessed my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That just blessed my soul. And then God promises as a result of that in Hebrews 10:25-1. Well, let's read Hebrews 10:25 with a better understanding. Well, Paul had a revelation of something happening in Genesis. He read the Old Testament. And he spoke. Most of his sermons were a derivative from the Old Testament. Amen? And what's it say? I want you to read it with your own eyes. It's good to look at it and read it. And I hope Brother Hill just will drive the point on home tonight. A little further when he gets up here. All right, verse 25. Not forsaking, not just being good, not being independent, the assembling of ourselves together, don't forsake that, as the manner of some is or some do, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I like it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise God. Did you understand that it's simple? Was that simple?
Amen.
Amen. So, we labor to be what? Laced together in God's eyesight. He had to lace all that together, and he said, it's very good. The Bible says that he rested after he said that, and he breathed upon that. All good, that very good. All of them laced together. He breathed upon that. Amen. And you know what? He will bless y'all. You all out there. He'll bless you with a Sabbath faith and a Sabbath shield. God will give you that. He will give you faith and hope. A Sabbath faith and a Sabbath hope. You'll receive a shield of faith and hope. Amen. This will be a shield when the devil comes along. You've got a shield because, amen, God is breathing upon you. God's lacing you together, and you're receiving that very good from God. How many would like to be laced together and hear the voice of God say, very good? Look upon you and say, very good. Not just good. The KMC, Brother Hill, is good. But with the other keys and notes, it's very good.
Huh?
You come up to someone, they're going, bing, ding, ding, ding. How do you like that, Brother Jordan? Well, that's good. Then they play a C chord with all of them together and just, wow, that's very good. Hallelujah. I want God to look upon me and say, that's very good. Then I want him to go.
Yes.
Ah, and just high of my son. Praise God. And then all of a sudden, well, I don't think. I've been going to church, Brother Jordan, faithfully now for about 5 months. And you know what? I don't even have bad thoughts anymore. What happened? He surrounds you with his breath of life. Sanctifies your mind. If you strive for the unity, enter into rest. What is rest? Quit doing your own thing. Quit laboring so hard doing your own thing. Quit laboring, trying to be so independent. Well, I got to do something for Jesus. I can't go to church. I got to go preach. I got to go hold a tent revival. I can't do that. I got to go preach to the people. My Bible tells me. Now, there's a time for that, of course. There's evangelists and pastors and preachers and teachers and all that. But, amen, when it's time to be a part of a body here, don't be an independent one. Huh? That's right. You won't get the breath of God. You won't get sanctified. Not only shot, I won't get down. But Brother Hill preach. Amen. I appreciate Brother Hill. He's always been an inspiration to me. Amen. And you know, it's so good to see people who have mounted that white horse of faith and rode on for Jesus for a few years. Amen. And they still are saying, thank you, Jesus. He's still good. He's still holy. He's still righteous. You know, to look back, amen, when they've gone on for a few years and say, my God, hallelujah, has never failed me yet. That's good. That's good encouragement. That's a good exhortation to someone who's only been a Christian for 3 or 4 years. And they feel like they're going to be forsaken by God any minute. And then Brother Hill or someone comes up and been going on for the Lord for a while. Say, hey, I've been going that route for 30-something years. He hadn't forsaken me yet. Now I was telling a brother today, I said, don't wait till finally, if the Lord tarries, you come to church. You go, Brother Jordan, I've been running on now for 80 years in your church. And you know, I wish I would have known this when I was 20 and 30 and 40 and even 50 or 60. God never did forsake me. God always supplied my need. My wife's looking at me like I'm crazy. That's the truth. Enjoy your 20s. Enjoy your 30s. Enjoy your 40s. Because God's never going to forsake you. And he's always going to meet your need. So you might as well enjoy it. Right? You might as well be free. Be free. Brother Hill, come on up here while the tithes are walking up front. The deacons and the deaconesses. Honey, you have to be absolutely ridiculous sometimes to get people's attention. Amen. I am, Brother Hill. I'm not going to give up. Praise God. I'm going to turn this over to you, and I want you to pray over the tithes and offerings. Amen. Well, I want you to get right on up here. Praise God. Don't go anywhere. Amen. And I want you to pray over the tithes and offerings. No, I want Craig to, because he's been really anointed to do that. That gets him all stirred up in the spirit. Amen. Brother Craig, come on up here and get this microphone and pray over the tithes and offerings. And let's be faithful as a small group. If you got your tithes tonight, go ahead and pay them. We need them.
Lord, we just thank you for another day just to praise you and worship the Lamb of God. Just another day just to acknowledge that you're head over all things, Lamb of God. We plead your blood over our minds, sanctify our minds, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. We just want to live for you and die to self, oh Lord God, just to feel you, just to touch you, just to be joined with your will, Lord God. Thank you, Lamb of God, for these people here tonight. Want to serve you, to come and get a portion of your word, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you so much, Lord God, just to attain the high goal, Lord Jesus. surprise to walk up that mountain, Lord God, in Moshiach. Yes, I don't mean walk, I mean crawl up the mountain. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We just love you, Lord God. We just want to be under your headship just to put the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ upon our mind. Thank you, Lord God. We're nothing. We're nothing but the dust of the ground. Just we acknowledge that we are nothing. Can we come and just say, Lord, mold me and make me after thy will. Thank you, Lord God. We're nothing before you. Lord God, we just praise you and love you and worship you, Lord God. Just ask that you bring us something out of your word tonight so we can just take it with us and say, oh, praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. In your precious name, I ask that you forgive us of our sins. Just lead, God, and direct us in all we do and all we say and to acknowledge you in everything. In your precious name, I ask it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I want to know if I have permission to do what I feel led to do. Do I have permission from Brother and Sister Jordy to do what I feel led to do?
Yes, go ahead. Be led of the Spirit.
I don't think that anything but the Spirit of God would have me to do this. I had a text, and I'm not going to preach for a few minutes, but I'm going to talk. There's one thing my children know, that I practice what I preach. And their mother practices what they preach. She preaches. We know that. But if I had a text, I think I would ask you, do you know what you are? Do you know who you are? Do you know why you are? Do you know where you are? Do you know where you're going? Do you know what you're going to do when you get there? I'm going to tell you. Now, Brother Jordan had just got through taking up tithes and offerings, and he never said very much about it. But I want to talk to you just a few minutes. And I'm going to take an offering. I'm going to receive one, and you're going to give. I just was reading a little bit today in Nahum 1 and 7. If you want to look at it, you read it. The Lord know, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust him. That's in the Old Testament. You gotta have it. I've heard people talk about how hard things are going, how tough they are. Tell you the truth about it, I've been there. I've tried the Lord. You see this book here? It's tried. It's proved. And I've tried the Lord. I've tried holding back. And you know, every time I hold back, the devil gets it 10 times. Every time I give what I'm supposed to give, the Lord gives me 10 times. And some folks got a pastor, two pastors here. And I've only met them 3 times, I think. Been down in Dallas 3 times in my life. And I'm going to tell you, I talk behind their back just like I'm going to talk in front of them. I love them just like they belong to me. And I don't ever let my eyes close at night that I don't pray for this church, this people, these 2 people. But I want to tell you something. A lot of you have problems financially. You know how to end that problem? If you've only got $10 in your pocket and you don't know where the next meal's coming from, give that $10 away.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise.
I've got 8 in mine. And it don't mean any more to me than a scrap of paper. If you want God to bless you, if you're hungry, miss a meal. If you've got $10 in your pocket and you haven't got enough to pay your bills, get it out right now. And I'm not going to put an offering plate. I'm not going to ask anybody to take an offering, but I'm going to receive an offering tonight. And Brother Jordina, I'd like for you just to lay your Bible somewhere. Because I know what's going to happen to the church. I know what's going to happen to the people. I know the blessings that's coming. Because I've been talking to Jesus about it. And he is a personal friend of mine.
All right.
And I know that he does not fail. And when I get through tonight, I'm going to tell you. How many really love the Lord? Well, if you really love him, I want you to get these 5 hands. These 5 strings on each hand together. And I want to get you to give him a praise offering for what I'm about to take away from you.
Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord that you have the privilege of giving to him. It if you don't live it. Now I want everybody to get on their feet.